Two fat expats, hey, drinking gin for the very first time. Two fat expats will make you feel good. Ooh. Listen all the time. Oh, oh, oh.
I was obsessed with Madonna.
Were you really?
Obsessed. Like, remember when she cut her hair off pixie short and went platinum blonde?
Yes.
Like in the 90s?
Yes,
I did that.
I think that was the Sean Penn time.
No, later.
That was later.
It was when she did that whole where she got really sexy and did erotica and stuff.
Oh, yes. The coffee table book.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, cut all my hair off.
Did you?
Yeah. Loved her. Loved her.
How do you feel about her now?
I'm an original Madonna girl. I don't do new Madonna.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
I still think she's amazing. Like, she's nearly 60 and look at her, but no.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
So here we are at episode 22.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to this one.
It's a good one because it's the right time to be talking about this.
Yes.
As we head into, on this side of the world, we're heading into our summer holidays. And
no, I just thought, obviously, you could be listening to this 3 months down the track and it's not the right time at all, but if it is.
So everyone, at the moment, we're heading into mid-June.
We are. We're in mid-June.
Getting ready for summer. Well, your summer holidays start today.
Last day of school today.
Yes. I've still got a couple of weeks left.
I was at a farewell party last night. I was at a farewell coffee this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I have another farewell tonight and another one tomorrow.
Wow. So you know quite a few people leaving this year.
I do. And, you know, it's one of those tricky years where I didn't realise I did. And I think I said to you only a couple of weeks ago, we've got two people that are leaving because it just happened really quickly.
Yeah.
So it is. It's quite shocking.
I've got one friend that's leaving that we've actually started to become quite close over the last few months.
Yeah.
And it's a really quick...
Yeah.
She didn't know that she was going until last week.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that today, aren't we? Like the quick goodbyes.
Yes.
So we've thrown in a couple of articles. I guess the gist of today is we want to talk about... when it is that quick goodbye and how you say goodbye.
Yeah.
And we're also going to look at some goodbye gifts and the best farewell gifts that people have had, the best parties, the best experience they've had.
Because you had a lot of comments on your Facebook page this week and there were some really, really great ideas.
There were.
So we're going to talk about those today.
And things, I mean, I've been doing this for 15 years and I've only just had the epiphany of what a really good gift is. Do you know? I've just realised. Just speaking about that, this morning we had to do the teacher's gift sort of thing, which I fail dismally every year. I'm not good.
Right.
I'm not a good gift buyer.
Aren't you?
No, I'm not. My husband is the best gift buyer. Like he's a really switched on, listens to what you say, knows. And this morning when I handed Henry Hot Dog the candle that he had to give his teacher, he seriously just looked at the candle and looked back at me and said, "This is it."
But do you give gifts back home? Oh, you haven't done schooling back home? Because it was very foreign to me when Sadie started school that the mum started, "Oh, what are you getting so-and-so for her gift?" And I was like, "What?"
Well, this probably won't surprise you, Sez, but it will definitely surprise others because, now how do I say this? Because there are people at our school with a certain level of disposable income.
Yes.
Who
you're going to say that gifts range from the candle right through to an iPad.
Oh, no, no, no.
More?
Oh, yes. Someone got a Chanel handbag.
Yes, I worked at a school where a certain teacher got a Chanel handbag and a Dior handbag.
Well, I heard a little rumour.
And rumour has it she also got given a yacht.
I heard a Mercedes.
Really?
I heard a Mercedes. And, yeah, rumour has it that, you know, a lot of teachers feel incredibly, you know, awkward about it all and then it's that whole, you know, what do we do and does it get donated somewhere or whatever.
The school that I worked in, they had a rule that if they felt the gift was above 50 reals, which is what, about $15, they had to put it in a gift book.
So when I handed Henry the candle to take today, I bought a candle holder as well. But when he said to me, "But Mum, you don't understand, someone gave her a pair of shoes." Like, how do you even know your teacher's shoe size to do that?
I actually have, I think, like a little candle or a little lipstick or nail polish, I think is nice. But I think when you start to get into these big expensive gifts, it makes me wonder, one, it makes me feel bad for the children that aren't giving those gifts. And two, are those teachers now feeling obliged to give better marks, a better school report? Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's a bit.
And I would have thought bad planning because it's too late by then. The report's done, written.
Yeah, you hand in the Mercedes like the beginning of term, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
And Sadie's teacher's leaving for good. She's leaving Qatar for good. So I'm not going to say what I've bought her just in case she listens. I haven't given it to her yet. But we, the mums in the class, have gotten together this year to give a really nice gift.
Yeah, someone was talking this morning about they were once at a school where they gave a big bowl, like a popcorn bowl, and that they got all the children to put their fingerprints in the bowl and painted their fingerprints. So you listen to that, you think cute. I listen to that and I go, I'm going to eat popcorn out of a bowl with fingerprints all over it. But it is cute.
Yeah, no, I think it's cute.
But that's what I mean. I'm not good with the gift thing. But what I tried to say to Henry this morning, because he, being in grade three, the big thing about grade three is you get your cursive license. Because, you've been practicing all year and he's got his cursive license. And he wrote a letter to her in cursive. Aww. And there was a lot of, you know, painstaking. We started, we stopped, we threw it in the bin, we started again, we threw it in the bin. There was a lot of that. And hence the lack of paper when we had to reload
for the printer. Yeah.
And, yeah, I said to him, your handwritten cursive note is going to mean much more than any pair of shoes or candle or whatever, because I don't think teachers, I don't know, I think isn't that part of being a teacher is you get them, you get the 20 different mugs and you get 20 different candles or you get...
Sadie's teacher sent me a picture. Sadie, she'd been away on maternity leave and had come back and she must have gone out to the bathroom or something, and apparently Sadie had written her a little love letter and then stuck it in her planner for her to find, you know, by so surprise. Sweet. And I just thought, one, oh my God, my daughter is just the best, but two, how sweet as a teacher to find that, you know?
Yeah.
Because they put so much hard work in. And just to get a little bit of feedback from the kids, I think is very nice.
Yeah, mind you, I'd be digging that Chanel handbag.
Shit, yeah. I would be rocking that. Maybe I should go back and do my education degree.
So we're talking about saying goodbyes. Yes. And you had found an article and it had a little quote.
The article is by Tina Quick, who I think is like a life coach psychologist type lady, and it was from the Global Nomad's Guide to University Transition. Ooh. So a little bit off topic, but I liked the quote. I think it fits in. She says, leaving a place you have been rooted in for any amount of time is never... You're laughing at rooted.
That's so funny.
For anyone that's not Australian, rooted... rooted means... getting it on.
It does mean getting it on. And saying leaving a place you've been rooted in.
Yeah, that means you've been the town bike.
But I think we've all had to leave a place we've been rooted in.
Yes.
But sorry, I digress. Let's continue.
Okay, we need to compose ourselves because this is like a poignant...
It is a poignant moment. Yes,
okay. Leaving a place you've been in for any amount of time is never easy, but making the time for proper farewells is something no one has ever regretted. Proper closure and forward thinking help pave a smooth road to transition and reduce the stumbling blocks of adjustment.
Yeah. Oh, do you know?
So you and I think different. You hate, like, you, I hate goodbyes. You'll avoid them.
I would avoid goodbyes. And, you know, just reading that has made me realise I've probably been like that all my life. But I think, too, it's like that whole duck and run with your children when they're small, you know, when you drop them at some sort of play centre or something and you just... I was really naughty. I did a lot of the, okay, you in, you're good, you're not looking, I'm running in the other direction. And that's meant to be terrible.
I emotionally abuse myself and stand there and like howl and watch her howl and like let it drag on.
So, and I think, but supposedly my way's wrong. I think your way's right in the parenting world. You're meant to do, you know, never just disappear and whatever. But I would duck and run, you know, usually because I had someone else.
Well, I've only got one. You probably had three others screaming in the car like, come on, Mum, got to get to school.
Yes. But I think, I do.
But you don't like saying...
I hate saying goodbye. I hate saying goodbye.
No. I hate it, but I feel like you need to do it.
Yes.
Especially if you don't know when you're going to see someone again.
Yes.
So when I had to say goodbye to my close friend Sharon here, she left in February, I mean, it was horrendous, our goodbye, horrendous. Mm. But it needed to be done. And it needed to be done right before she left for the airport.
Right.
Like we needed to be the last person each other saw
right.
before she left.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whereas my girlfriend's back home, the first time I left was... Actually, the first time was fine because we'd been living in Melbourne, so they were used to not seeing me on a regular basis anyway.
Mm.
So when we left for Abu Dhabi, it was almost like we were saying goodbye when we used to return to Melbourne.
Mm.
But when I came back to Australia for my first visit, we had our tradition is that two of my best girlfriends and I, we have a really posh dinner sort of a night before I leave.
Right.
And that's like our last hurrah every yeah. year. And the first year we sat there in this restaurant, like drowning our sorrows in our wine and cocktails
right.
and bawling our eyes out. And it was just, ugh, it yeah. was awful. Now we each get a separate cab when we leave. We don't share a taxi. And we do a quick cuddle out on the street.
Yes.
Bye, love you, see you soon. Jump in our taxi. And then we each cry on our own in the taxi on the
yeah.
way home. Because otherwise it's just too
yeah.
much.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, I wrote a piece about this during the week about saying goodbye. I can't actually remember what I called it or whatever.
Something on the tears on the tarmac.
Oh, yeah, tears yeah. on the tarmac. Thanks. But it was about because a girlfriend of mine who has also been travelling just as long as I have, she was saying how she feels bad because she knows that now she's got so good at it, at mm-hmm. how to extract herself and...
Yeah.
It's a mutual friend that we both have leaving and she said, you know that I'm avoiding certain conversations, I'm mm-hmm. avoiding certain confrontation because I have worked out how to get through this without, you know, mm-hmm. being a mess. But she was the one that said, but I do still cry the minute I get on the plane.
Yeah.
And I think I do that too, but
I hate airport goodbyes. We've stopped the whole family. Like the first
yeah.
couple of years, we had Matt's family, my family, everyone at the airport, and you're sitting in the cafe and you just count. You're just looking at your watch waiting because
yes.
you know the goodbye
yeah.
is coming, and I hate that. I hate it.
I particularly find it just really hard with the kids, and it's not that I find it hard for the kids to say goodbye to the grandparents. It's the grandparents saying goodbye to the
yeah.
kids. And I can still remember when Lizzie was a baby and my dad was holding her in this, you know, little basket thing, like a Moses basket, kind of swinging her to keep her asleep.
Mm.
And, you know, we were checking in with mountains of luggage because it was back in those early days, mm-hmm. first baby, you know,
yeah.
you're taking everything with you and mum being a mess and, you know, me being all stressed about, you know, do I breastfeed her now or do I do it when I get on the plane or
yeah.
do I do it on takeoff and is she going to be all right? And, you know, she's
yeah.
11 days old or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just all too much.
Yeah.
Do you know? Like
yeah.
it was all too the whole having to say goodbye and taking this child away from its grandparents and
yeah.
you know there's so much with
it
a
is
goodbye.
Yeah
there's so much.
I think Matt's dad is the one that always gets me because he's quite a tough, he's got a very tough exterior, there's
right.
not a lot of emotion to him unless it's about Sadie
right.
and a couple of days before we get ready to leave
yeah
you can I'll be sitting there watching him and I'll just see his eyes tear up just looking at her and then when we do say goodbye it is yeah, it's very tough on him and it's just not what you would expect
no.
from him. Like my mum and I still cling on to each other and cry and but that's
yes.
what I expect from
yeah.
her and I.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
don't expect it from his father, so I think that sometimes gets me even
yes.
more.
Yes. Yeah.
yeah.
And I think particularly if someone gets sick and you know, we have something in our family at the moment where someone is unwell. And so there's a whole different look in the eye when you're saying goodbye because
yeah.
Is that
the last time?
Yeah.
yeah. Do you know what I always say to my dad when I say, I don't know why I always think it's going to be my dad, but
yeah.
And my dad's not, he's affectionate but not overly affectionate. And I just hug him and I just say, make sure I see you next time, Dad.
Oh,
because, I never want that to be
the last
goodbye.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, and we don't, that's the thing, we don't get to plan our exits at
no,
all, do we?
No.
So, yeah, you don't know. Look, one of the other things we spoke about when we were talking
mm-hmm.
about best ways to say goodbye and what to do was also about the whole leaving quickly.
Yes.
And I have
having
heard...
the rug pulled out from under you very quickly.
And you've had it. You've
yes.
had to leave very quickly.
Yeah.
So what
mm-hmm.
was your story in Abu Dhabi?
So we were in Abu Dhabi and living the life. And I think we'd been there about a year and a half and I'd finally found my groove.
Yeah.
We're in a house that I loved. I had friends that lived 2 minutes down the road. Like everything was good.
Yeah.
And then the financial crisis hit. And Matt had to take a pay cut, so we thought, right, okay, what's going on? If you're taking a pay cut, does that mean
you then... What's the next step?
Yeah, what's the next step? So he had sort of put his feelers out there, but not too much. And then he came home one Sunday afternoon and said, I've been retrenched, that's it. And it was, okay, do we race back home? Do we just move back to Australia? And we weren't really ready for that yet. It had only been a year and a half away. So we started looking for jobs, and he was offered a job in Perth and in Doha. And we figured, Perth, you're just as far away sometimes living in Perth. We may as well move to Doha and keep the expat life going for a while. So he had lost his job on Sunday, been offered the job in Doha on Wednesday, and less than 2 weeks later we were gone.
Wow.
To Doha, which is same, but not same.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of looks the same, but it's not the same,
At least it's a quick flight and a quick...
Yeah, it was up and down, and Matt had come here for the interview, and they offered him the job that day, and he said, it looks pretty much the same. It will be fine.
We, most of ours were quick. The company that G used to work for are notoriously famous for moving people very quickly. So there were a few. I know when we were in Jakarta, he walked past a meeting room where there was a list of names on the whiteboard, and there was one column that said KL and one column that said Dubai, and his name was on the KL, and it was like...
And they hadn't even told him.
And no, hadn't told him, and... And then a couple of people rang to ask if they could have a look at our house. and we were gone in, you know, 2 weeks or so. We were gone.
So you were given no choice?
No, because they had a whole company restructure, and they moved a certain part of the organisation to Dubai, and they moved a certain part of it to KL.
Wow.
And they said, okay, your bit's going to KL. You're
See,
gonna
that's
go and
so
do that.
Different from losing your job compared to being in a place being happy. Because you were you loved living there, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely loved it. Yeah. And so we were just gone very quickly. And it really was, I went to KL the next week, you know, found a house, found a car, found friends, did whatever. You know, it all happened really quickly. And then... The same thing when we went to Libya. I was, you know, 9 months pregnant and giving Lizzie a bath, and Greg came home and said, there's this rumour going around that we're moving to Libya. And I said, you know, there's no such thing as rumours. Like, it just, that is. And yet we moved with a three-week-old baby, I think, 2 or 3-week-old baby. But some people that wrote in on the Four Kids, Three Suitcases Facebook page were hysterical. And I think my favourite was Tracy.
Yes.
I had heard this story of these people that were literally in a cab on their way to the airport when they got the call saying, turn around, you're not going anywhere, the deal's fallen through. And she said... She was moving from Damascus to Houston. The packers came. Everything boxed in one day. The next morning, I stood out on the balcony watching the truck arrive to load the boxes when the phone rang. Don't let them load. We're staying another year. Unpack. And we set up house again. I know. I know. And
the
then
stress.
No. And then Francesca had, my husband had to clear out our apartment in Jakarta in one day and get on a plane back to New Zealand where I was having a baby. And it was something about the wrong
visa. Yeah, he had the wrong visa. And he'd already been there a year, I think, living with the wrong visa.
Yeah. And so she never got to say goodbye. And I've had that one too. When we lived in Libya, we went home for Christmas, and we went home with like an 8-week-old baby and two kids, and it was fairly manic. And Greg got a phone call New Year's Eve saying, you're moving to Canada. And
so you never went back
I
to
I never
Libya.
Went back. And and somebody had said on the thread that it's an awful feeling, because if you don't actually say goodbye, because there's a difference between avoiding saying goodbye and having light conversation about it, or really not getting any chance. And I actually feel that a little piece of you just stays there because
I can understand
you
that.
Haven't done it. And, like, I always think the house that we lived in... So the reason I didn't go back was they gave Greg this really quick turnaround of, okay, go. And I had an 8-week-old, I think a 15-month-old and a 3-year-old.
So logistically it didn't make sense to
go back
to Libya
and pack
then,
up the house all in a week with three tiny children. And so I stayed with my parents, and Greg went back and packed up the house. And we had this clock as a wedding present that stayed up on the wall, like nobody ever took it down. Mm-hmm. And I always picture that house with our clock up on the wall.
Yeah.
Do you know? Yeah, and just this empty house with our clock and our so many things that we had to sort of leave behind.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, it was awful. And then our shipment took months and months and months. It's the one that had the rats.
Yeah.
And our shipment took like a good 7 months to get to Canada. And so we moved into this house in the July. So we'd gone home in the December and we set up our new life in the July. And I remember unpacking, and of course Greg had forgotten all of this stuff that had happened before he'd left because it had been really manic for him. And so out he pulled this amazing, it's like a carpet and it's a Libyan wedding jewellery that's pinned onto a traditional carpet. And that was the gift that they'd given me.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's in our beach house and I just absolutely love it. Like I absolutely adore it and it means a lot to me. But one of the gifts, and we're going to go on to talk about gifts and things people can get you, but one of the things was the week before we'd left, I'd been through the Medina. They call them souks, the Medina in Libya, and I'd seen this silver salt and pepper shaker, and I'd just kind of admired it as I'd wandered by. And someone had gone and got it and then given it to Greg to put in the shipment to send.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. So there's stuff like that that happens. But, if you don't get that, if you go too quickly, what were some of the others?
So we had Lulu, who said they were leaving Caracas in Venezuela to go and live in Rangoon in Myanmar. They sold furniture, cars, found new family for the housekeeper, et cetera, et cetera, and then it was cancelled 3 weeks before they were due to go. And then they ended up in Paris anyway. who do we have? Clara, she had one night. They were in Lagos.
And she must have been a child,
Yeah, and her father was really ill and was medevaced out, and they never came back.
Wow.
And that would be hard because that's just a stressful way to leave, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's a terrible way to leave.
And then Amanda, who said they've packed twice from UK to Australia and Australia to Hong Kong, shipped the furniture, booked flights, then the wait nervously for visas that only came through a day or two before they left. You try and be blasé about it, but when your life is sitting in a container in a port somewhere whilst you are living with only sleeping bags or whatever IKEA furniture you haven't yet sold with kids is not easy.
God, IKEA furniture is a real expat
thing. Yeah, it is.
It truly is.
Yeah. That actually made me think when we were here in Doha and Matt's first job, he was catterized, which means that an expat is pushed out of the company and a cattery is brought in. It's a big thing here, especially with the government companies. And that happened to Matt. And we'd had the removal people in. They'd given us a quote. My best friend was due to arrive to visit. And it was that whole point of, I think we're moving back home, but don't cancel your flight.
Yeah.
Still, and we thought we were going to be living out of boxes while she had come to visit. And the day before she arrived and the day before the packers came, Matt got offered a new job.
Oh, God.
It was just, was real living in limbo. And that actually, at that time, I was happy to go home.
Yeah.
I was disappointed that he got the job.
Yeah, and do you know, that's that whole geographical schizophrenia, isn't it? Because Lulu, who'd written here, Lulu Baker, Lulu actually used to live in Qatar, and she is a gorgeous creature. And she had said there that she still wants to go to Myanmar because they never got there.
Yeah,
and I know exactly what she means because if someone starts talking about it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's very hard to suddenly
and
go,
and you're doing your research, you're finding out suburbs to live in.
Yeah.
What, yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah. All right, well, I think we should listen to Sheridan. So Sheridan is a seasoned expat.
Okay.
And she is currently in her home in London packing up because they are about to make another move. So we'll have a listen to Sheridan, who is in a state of flux, but she's going to talk about one of her moves that happened incredibly quickly.
Okay.
And I probably went on a bit with Sheridan because she was so interesting to listen to.
Ooh,
because
I'm excited.
Yeah. All right, I'll put her on.
So, Sheridan, it makes sense that on a day when we're talking about goodbyes that I'm talking to you from your house full of boxes and movers and packing tape that we can hear on cue in the background.
Yes, it is. It's so appropriate.
So where are you and where are you moving to?
Well, I'm in London at the moment and we are sort of moving to California, but not, well, it's a bit confusing because I'm American-Canadian. My husband is British Canadian and can only stay in the U.S. 6 months of the year at this point. So we're going to go to California and spend a few months, and then we're going to go to Mexico where we have a little place. So he's not retiring, but he's taking a bit of a break. Wow. So we head off on a six-week trip to Spain, Portugal, and Israel with a carry-on bag.
Now, we were talking, I had put the question out on the Facebook page about what's the fastest move that you'd have to make, and you had a story. What was yours?
Well, we were living in Bangkok, which was our first expat move with children. After 12 years in Canada, we moved there in 1995, and we were there for 11 months. The children's school wasn't working out, so I changed schools. 2 weeks later, my husband said, we're going to move. I just can see that the contract is going to be lost. So he went on an interview from Bangkok to Lima, Peru. And I said, well, goodbye. And I know I'm never going to see you. And he, of course, said, don't be ridiculous. Which, of course, I wasn't being, because he rang me 2 days later and said, so could you just come? And I said, sure, of course I can. Now I would have said absolutely not, because I'm older and smarter. But at that point, I was young and sure, I could do anything. And so as I told you before, my girlfriend and I went out and got really inebriated, which was very helpful in the packing process. And then the children and I pulled them out of school and packed up, and about 10 days later, we're on a plane for Peru.
10 days.
A funny thing happened about that. We arrived in Peru where really nobody spoke English, and I had some high school Spanish, and the first morning ordered everybody breakfast, thinking I was so clever, and we got coffee and we got eggs, and then instead of getting hot chocolate, the children got hot corn, because my pronunciation was so poor, and they gave me this look, and I said, you like corn, just eat it.
Now, one of the other things we wanted to talk about this week was really great ideas for farewell presents and farewell parties, because everybody's in the height of goodbyes at this time of year. Do you have any ideas on what was sort of the best farewell present you've received or even been a part of putting together for someone else?
You know, memory books and jewelry. And jewelry not from a value point of view, but more like of a, like I received a necklace that when I left India, and it's not that it was an expensive, fancy necklace, but every time I think of it, I think of the friends that gave it to me, and yeah, it's portable. The worst thing was to get something really large after your shipment had left, which, even though the people were super thoughtful to get it for you, here you now were trying to get out and had a giant painting.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Or a big, big bunch of fresh flowers.
Right, and no vase.
Yeah.
And as far as the parties, you know, that's a tough one. I mean, I love hate them because I'm a crier. So I've been doing a lot of volunteer work here with a group called Floral Angels. And we had a demonstration and a bit of a goodbye, and they presented me with a lovely bouquet, knowing I still did have a vase. And, of course, I immediately burst into tears, and all the pictures look a mess. But that's me. I'm always the one crying.
Hey, do you want to tell me a bit about Floral Angels and what Floral Angels do?
Floral Angels has been my lifesaver here. It's on Facebook, and they're on Instagram and Twitter as well. They're a group that recycles event flowers here in London. We have a stand in the New Covent Garden Flower Market. Three gals started it, and big, fancy events are done here constantly. And all those flowers were going in the bin, thousands of pounds worth. So we get them and remake everything into bouquets for care homes, for hospices, for we have cocktail parties for the elderly, homeless shelters. People that are shut in and get meals delivered now get a bouquet of flowers delivered. I do that 2 or 3 days a week, and it has been the best part of my life in London.
Oh, wow.
Being an expat for, I mean, we've been doing this for way too long, or just long enough. I found that my community isn't necessarily from the American community.
Right. And has that changed over the years, Sheridan? Do you think that when you first set out, you spent more time with Americans, or how has your expat life evolved?
It's really been dependent on the group. I certainly don't rule out the American population. This time a bit, I've gravitated more toward people that have moved more frequently, because I found the people where London is their first experience, and they've been some of them have, sort of said, oh, it's quite difficult. And I came from 7 years in Argentina where I never saw really fresh vegetables. So I see my local crappy Sainsbury's local as heaven. So yes. I have a different expectation than somebody who this is their first. And I mean, they speak English here. I can get on a bus here. So I found London to be very easy in that regard. However, more difficult in that it's a big city. When I moved to India, for instance, within two, you've mentioned this in your podcasts. When you go to a tough location, people are all over helping you, which is wonderful. And I know, you immediately think, oh, she's new, what do you need? Like you told a story in your podcast of a woman walking in the mall and saying, hey, hello, do you need anything? And it's the same thing, you see somebody struggling in Spanish when I was in Argentina, and you're like, are you new? Do you need help? Do you want to be friends? Whereas here in London, of course, it's different. It's been a bit tougher to get situated. And that's why for me, Floral Angels has been not just a volunteer opportunity, but, the women sadly were leaving, but I could see them becoming from acquaintances to friends, which is a journey of itself.
So it was that last thing she said when she said, going from acquaintances to friends is a journey.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's happened to all
very
of us,
well
right?
Said.
It
yeah.
was very well said.
And I love the charity work that she's doing there. What an amazing idea to do.
I know, and I hope it's okay for our listeners, but I really wanted to leave that in because for a couple of reasons, I think that's something that could definitely happen here in the Middle East because you see huge floral arrangements and they get changed, all the time.
Yes.
They're part of hotels and I don't know where they go. What
I've
happens
never
to
even
them.
Thought about it, but after listening to Sheridan, the big Qatari weddings that happen here.
So if there's anyone out there that's inspired by that idea, go and have a look.
They've got a Facebook page.
Go forth and do it. But great stories from Sheridan. And you want to hear something really freaky. Mm-hmm. So while Sheridan was talking away, and I was sort of listening to her, and Lizzie was home, my eldest, yesterday, so she was sitting quietly in the background. And because my children get cross that I stop people in supermarkets and, oh, my God, I think I've seen you. And I think, she was talking away. And when she sort of elaborated on her stories, I just had this moment because her Skype photo was up there. And I thought, I've met you. And I said to her, I think I met you in Calgary at my friend Marta's house. And she said, oh, my God, you did.
Wow.
Yes. And isn't that just so expat?
Yeah, like, such a small world.
Small world. And I can remember she wasn't living
in
Calgary.
And you wouldn't have been blogging then either.
No. I had tiny children. Like, I don't think I had even had Henry then.
Wow.
And what it was, she didn't live in Calgary, but the woman I had was gone to see had lived in a country that Sheridan had lived in. I think it was Ecuador.
Right.
And Sheridan used to bring her boys home to go to camp in the summer, and it was she used to rent a little house and go and take her boys to camp in Calgary, and just because that's where they had grown up, and she was taking them back. And so I just happened to swing by this girl's house. We had a cup of coffee. Sheridan was sitting at the dining table.
Yeah.
We sort of told a few old war stories and, left, and that was it. And, it all came together.
Wow, that is really spooky.
Isn't that spooky? But, I mean, stuff like that happens to me all the time.
Does she follow your blog?
Yes, and has for years.
But did she know that you were the girl?
Had no idea. She had no idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's been everywhere.
She has, yeah. Mm. I loved it. But I
what
just
I want to know
really
is, so they've, you could hear everything being packed up. They're going to California, then they're off to Mexico. Where is all their stuff going?
Well, I gather, because she said we have a place in Mexico, didn't she?
So everything's going there before they then...
I don't know, because I don't know
I'm
what...
I'm thinking,
how
Sheridan,
that
once
has.
You get to Mexico and you're on that beach, maybe the semi-retirement might become more permanent.
I wonder if their stuff's going to California, do you think? I don't know.
Yeah, it's just the first thing, because they're travelling for 6 weeks around Europe.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm just, yeah. I know. I would like, Sheridan, can you let me know where all your stuff's going, please?
But she did. I have now decided, after speaking to Sheridan, from now on, all I'm giving people is jewellery, and mm-hmm. it's going to be like just a little memento, and not expensive,
yeah.
but just a little memento. I know it's really cliche here, everyone gets a camel. But
yeah, I also think I also really like when you have your name written in Arabic.
Yes,
I think
I like
that's
that
really
too.
Nice. And I know at the Gold Souk they can whip one up for you in silver or gold.
Yeah.
The other thing is pearls.
Yes.
I think at the Souk Waqif there's a really lovely pearl shop.
Yeah.
Where the pearl necklaces aren't crazy expensive.
Yeah.
But they're real pearls. I think that's nice because
Qatar
has a pearling history before they realised they had oil and gas.
The one I really liked, and we got a lot of suggestions on the For Kids page, and I think we're going to put them all on the running sheet, aren't we,
mm-hmm.
Is that the cookbook that you get all your friends to put together a recipe. And I read that when I got married from my mum's friends.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
That's
but
nice.
I've never thought of doing it. Isn't it?
Yeah, so you get all your friends together, they hand in their favourite recipe, and then they make it into a cookbook for the person that's leaving. And it was really interesting. Someone said on your Facebook page it can be done digitally. So you can make almost like a PDF of it, so then you're not lugging around a heavy book.
Yes. Forever. Oh, that's a good one too.
What else? If a teacher's leaving or if a child is leaving, you can get the kids to put their handprints on canvas.
Yeah,
I think that's really a nice idea. I like that. There's a website called Bespoke Verse, which does personalised poems.
Uh-huh.
So that's something that you could then have printed out and framed.
Yeah.
And the other one that we quite liked was the outline of the country.
Yes.
And then words to describe that person, which I just thought, that is so nice.
Now, that was somebody's friend, wasn't it?
There was a couple of people that suggested it, but there is a lady that does it, so I'll put her name on the show notes. And
I think she's a South African lady or something, isn't she?
So you can, and see, someone had an outline of a camel for living in the Middle East, but inside the camel were all words to describe the person that was leaving.
And someone had South Africa and someone had Qatar.
It's really nice. So we'll put those links in. And I like this one, a photo album filled with photos of family, friends, and then next to the photos, written memories that they'd shared together. That was nice.
I thought that was good too. Get your friends to write down a favourite memory of the friend who's leaving and put them on cards.
Yeah, and then a really practical one, but a good one, a starter kit for the new city they're moving to.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
What I do when people leave is for Sharon, she and I wrote letters to one another.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk any more about it because I keep that letter in my office, in my desk, and probably once or twice a week I read it.
Oh.
And her husband wrote a really lovely, he's a very softly spoken, doesn't show a lot of emotion, but he just wrote this. He stayed with us before he went back to Sharon and the kids, and he just left this really lovely card, and it's actually on my fridge.
Yeah.
So not every day. It's about 10 times a day when I open the fridge door. It's just Joe and his words to us, and that means more to me than any material gift. But what I do here in Qatar for friends that are leaving is I go to Carrefour and I buy the sexy Doha nighty, the I love Qatar
nighty. Yeah,
I think that's always, I always give
that's
the silly
one.
Gift. And I tend to get a book of Qatar and pictures and things like that. And friends of mine have a photography company called ABC Photography, and Aaron does amazing photographs of around the world, but also of Doha. And that's a good keepsake as well. If you know the person's leaving in time to get it in their shipment.
Yes.
As Sheridan said, don't give someone a big painting two days before they're leaving.
And there's also that book that floats around that my old neighbour does, the you've been in the Middle East too long.
Yeah.
And that's all sorts of funny sayings and things and pictures. And that's the old, I think now Bonnie has a Facebook page as well. I think it's Bonnie's Books, but we'll put a link onto it. But it's you've been in the Middle East too long, and it's things like there's footprints on your toilet seat.
Yeah. The best gift I got leaving Abu Dhabi was a traditional Emirati necklace that was framed.
Gorgeous, yeah.
And that's, you know, every house that we've lived in, we've had three houses now in Doha, it's always pride of place.
Yeah.
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 So that was something that I'll keep for...
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So this week, when we were talking about social media and whatever, what's your take this week?
Well, quite a few episodes ago, it would have been a couple of months ago now, that's how long we've been doing this.
I know. We're up to episode 22 I know. Or something.
Huge. Yeah. If you've been a long-time listener... Long-time listener, first-time caller, remember? I'm going to say that. Anyway, I shared my favourite Instagram account, which was Crazy Jewish Mum.
Yes. Well, that's right. That was a highly debatable.
And there was whether she was real, whether she was fake.
Yeah.
They are real. Yeah. And they've got their own personal Instagram accounts. But Crazy Jewish Mum is now on Facebook.
Right.
So it's, I think, because Facebook, I think, is better than Instagram when you want to interact and you want to leave comments and things like that.
Yeah, actually, much better.
So
yeah.
I like it now that she's on Facebook.
Yes.
And I was just...
I interact far more on Facebook than I do on Instagram.
I started to chat a little bit more on Instagram, a little bit. But for me, Instagram is I scroll and if that image hits me and I love it...
Yeah.
Yeah, I double tap.
Yeah.
Whereas Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook. I just love the community. I love the community that is Facebook. Yeah.
And what's your pick today?
My pick today is a podcast called Note to Self. And I think I've talked about this before because it was called New Tech City.
Mm-hmm.
And it's public radio and it's really good public radio, like this American Life kind of public radio. But Note to Self, I have listened to a lot this week because they have great online stuff for, I think, parents. And I was just listening to one about thinspiration on social media for young girls. And for those that don't know, like if you have an eating disorder, it's very easy to follow it all along on social media and online. And there's all these little code words. So if you're a bulimic, you're Mia. And if you're anorexic, you're Anna.
Yeah.
And there are so many Tumblr sites and places to go that if you are trying desperately to keep your eating disorder going while the rest of the world's trying to make you better, there are people out there that will encourage you to be.
Yeah. And thinner. I don't think my sister will mind me saying my sister suffered very badly from anorexia as a teenager. And back then, the internet wasn't what it was, what it is today. But it was, and same thing, she just. It was all those websites out there and it was lots of photos of supermodels, so like Kate Moss and things like that. So I think sometimes they're the warning
and they
signs.
Show their arms and their legs and they, you know, to just try and encourage you to keep it going. So with Note to Self, there's lots of different episodes, but that was one of them that I listened to this week. Another one was on what happens to children's sleep patterns when they're looking at devices and what when a screen lights up, what those endorphins do to a brain.
Do you know, I've just been speaking about this at university.
Right.
Yeah, we're doing, and one of the questions we were asked to answer was how often, when do you check your phone and the internet? And it's all about this blue light.
Yes.
And there's a whole study that if that's the last thing you look at before you go to sleep, it's a whole completely different sleep pattern.
Wow.
But it's really interesting. And this article that one of the other students put online for us, it now makes, she now won't watch TV or look at any devices an hour before she goes to sleep. And the difference she said in her sleep was unbelievable.
See, I'm guilty of that.
Oh,
I'm
the
really
first
bad.
Thing, I actually set my alarm 15 minutes before I need to get up because that's 15 minutes of checking my phone.
I have to say,
and it's the last thing I look at before I go to bed.
Mine isn't my phone. Mine is I'm on my laptop before I go to bed. Quite often I'll watch something in bed on my laptop and, you know, headphones in, laptop on, and then, you know, you kind of don't really go to bed because you're already in bed. So it's really bad. Bad. And first thing in the morning on my phone, checking my phone.
But I thought when I had to, on my tutor group, and it's all done online, I thought I'd be the only one that would admit to that, but every single person said they did it.
Yeah.
No, these are all mature. These are all, most of my uni students are all mature age,
like
a lot
older
than me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we only have a couple of youngies. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. I think particularly if you're not online savvy, I actually think it's a great site to go to because a great podcast to listen to because it will it gives you an insight without having to be there. A lot of people don't want to know about Instagram and Facebook. And
but I think if you've got children, you need to.
You have to. Okay, that's us. Yes. So, Sarahs, we're about to – this goes out on Sunday.
Yes. And then you'll be on a plane.
I'm on a plane on Monday. And then we will do it. We'll keep doing our podcast through till July.
You'll be in South Australia. I'll be a little bit here and a little bit. I'm not sure in August. I'm going to be somewhere, but I don't know where.
And I'm just thinking for a bit of that time in July, I'll be over in Brisbane.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, there'll be a bit of travel. And then we think maybe in August we might have...
Yeah, we might take a bit of a break in August, if that's all right with everyone.
But I wanted to say thank you. So many people have come over to the Facebook page this week, and it's been fantastic. Yeah. And we had a great picture from Sarah in Moscow.
Yes, Sarah, you made my week, more than my week. Yes.
Sarah took a photo of... She'd got off the metro.
Yep.
She popped up in Red Square and she took a photo of her. She even took that photo, though?
Okay, so I think she must have had, like, an iPad.
Right.
Or maybe another phone.
Or maybe someone else's phone sent her or something. But so she held up her Two Fat Expats
on her iPhone.
On her iPhone. In front of
Red Square.
It was fantastic.
It was amazing. So thank you very much.
If anyone else out there that wants to do something spectacular like that, please take a photo.
Because it really makes us happy, and we love the conversation that started on the Two Fat Expats page. Yeah. It's been really, really good.
It has been really good.
And keep sending in your messages and we'll always reply.
And tell us if you've got something you want us to talk about. We quite often get notes from people saying, hey, have you thought about writing about single expats?
Yes.
Or have you thought about writing when you're away from your partner for extended periods of time and things like that? So we love to get those ideas.
We're happy to talk about topics that we have no experience about, because it means we get to speak to all of you guys.
It means we get to interview people. Yeah, so that's good. Anyway, thank you, everybody, and I will talk to you next week from Australia.
And I'll still be here in sunny, hot Doha.
I have to give you my microphone. That's the next thing. When we do this podcast, I have noticed I am a Nazi with holding the notes holding the microphone.
Everyone, I have never held the microphone, and if I hold the notes, they get snatched away from me. And I talk with my hands, so at the moment, I'm actually with my hands crossed because I'm either spitting on her or hitting her.
So it's going to be very strange because I've got to hand over the microphone and give it to you.
You know I'm going to practice like singing songs and stuff into it before we record.
Okay. All right. We'll see you later, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.